That's no moon. It's a space station.
It's time for Cinema Savants.
The answer to what is happening to you is here.
Your weekly source for movie news.
I'm Groot.
Movie reviews.
Oh my god, the quarterback is toast!
And the occasional Hollywood rumor.
Wait a minute. You guys aren't the real Avengers. I can tell Hulk gives it away.
Hosted by Todd Vandenberg.
I think with your IQ, you're unarmed and still very dangerous.
And Rob Steele.
Stop right there. I'm in.
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
All aboard, everybody.
Welcome to another episode of Cinema Savant, your home for all the movie news about movies that you actually care about. Unlike, you know, movies you don't care about, of which there are going to be a lot because there's too many movies that come out these days. That's just me being, you know, picky and pedantic or annoying. Or something like that. He's Todd Vandenberg, and I should be feeling better after a week off, but I'm not. So there. Want to get started and get this out of the way, because this... See, I should be feeling better.
You should be.
Because, you know, had the week off, had time to relax and everything, and yet there were a number of crappy things that happened, some of them even show-related. For example, if you remember back over Christmas... we played a version of the You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch song by a band called The Jones, and the lead singer of which is a friend of mine, Todd Austin. Some of you may know him as Toddzilla. I knew him as Toddzilla for the first 5 years I knew him. I didn't know what his last name was. I just went, oh, okay, whatever. if you are in the Nashville area, you have probably seen this guy. Tall, skinny, enormous hair. Anyway... Friend of the show and all around great guy who lost his house in a fire this past week, which is horrible news. And everybody, well, let me phrase it this way. All the humans are fine. He lost a number of pets, which, see, this is not starting out as a good show, but we're going to get better. We'll have better news as we go along. But on the website, the cinemasavants.com website, there's a link right under this particular episode for the GoFundMe page to help Toddzilla out. So go there, help him out. He's a great guy, and right now we can send thoughts and prayers, but he would prefer money because it'd be more helpful.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking. So
there's that. I'm glad you said that. I mean, especially, yeah, specifically about the GoFundMe for Toddzilla, but the thoughts and prayers comment, because you see that so often. And yeah, I understand the intentions are good, and especially when people put, you know, my friends will post this as like, you know, please beat cancer, please. It's like, why don't you post something that's like, here's a link to the American Cancer Society. Do something instead of repost something. That does nothing.
Hello.
You know, it's just, yeah, it's like give $5 to something that actually physically helps, you know, instead of just, oh, yeah, thoughts and prayers are fine, but money is what rebuilds houses, so.
I could use that life preserver. No, I'm sending thoughts and prayers, but I'm drowning. Thoughts and prayers. No, no.
Yeah, and not knocking thoughts and prayers, but there needs to be a little more than thoughts and prayers. There needs to be some concrete work. Just occasionally would be nice.
I guess people we can send thoughts and prayers to would be those who, because we lost a couple actors this past week that I actually liked.
You say that like you hate most actors.
An actor died that I didn't like. I'm not going to do that. That would be funny as hell, but I'm not going to do it. Adam West we lost earlier this week, which is not an entirely unexpected thing, because it's not like he was, ooh, he just turned 21. No.
Right.
And most people know him from what I refer to as Ye Olde Batman Show. Because there's so many of them now anyway. But yeah, and he's done a ton of voiceovers. Very recognizable voice.
Oh, yeah.
We've even got news about him later on in the show. Go figure. Kind of a posthumous thing. And then I think it was last night or possibly Friday night, we lost Stephen First.
Yeah.
who and we both know him from different things, I suppose. You what was it, Flounder?
Yeah, well, we know him from the same things, but that was my first, Flounder from Animal House. But yeah, he's...
Yeah, that's your first thought. My first thought is Veer from Babylon 5.
Right.
So, he had been around... From diabetes.
Oops, sorry, yeah, he had been around a long time.
Yeah, that's...
He was 63, which is like, that's...
too young.
Wow. It is too young, but it's also like... How did Flounder get to be 63? That just seems kind of insane.
Yeah.
You mentioned the voiceover work for the Adam West, and he did a lot. And one of my favorite roles that he ever did from the first, well, I guess it's the first of the modern animated DC films, The Mask of the Phantasm. And he played the Grey Ghost, which was like Batman's.
Yeah.
Role model, basically.
Well, I was in
character creative for that.
In the animated
series. He did a great job in that.
He did. That was actually a very awesome episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Seen
it was in the series too.
I think it's on YouTube.
Probably.
So yeah, check that out. That was very cool. It's not supposed to be on YouTube, but then again, there's a lot of things that are not supposed to be on YouTube.
Very true.
That are on YouTube. So I, missing both of them already. Which is horrible because I never actually met either of them, but still. Would you like to go into to some happier news?
Yes.
We've got to have happier news here somewhere.
I would like happier news.
Let's get into the good, the bad, and the whatever. I'm trying to lighten the mood a bit, and I'm not sure it's helping. James Gunn... He who has developed the Guardians of the Galaxy movies with a Guardians of the Galaxy lineup that I had previously been unfamiliar with, but has done an incredible job, is going to be working very heavily with Kevin Feige to do the Marvel Cinematic Universe Part 4. Because there's been phases of it. He's going to be heavily involved in Phase 4 because apparently they're going to be doing a lot of cosmic universe stories. And I think this can't be anything but good news because the movies he's done have been really good. So
yes
do have. It. Yes, go.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I'm just thinking. Good time to think. It's like while you're live on the internet radio machine. Yeah, he has done a terrific job, and it's kind of hard to say. Yeah, he's so much better than this director, that director, because. With very few exceptions, all of the films have been so good. But if you were going to pick one person, maybe the Russo brothers. But yeah, he's done an amazing job, and especially considering the fact that he took characters that just weren't that well known. I mean, people made a big deal about Iron Man being such a success because he's a secondary character. It's like, well, if Iron Man was a secondary character, and he definitely was in the Marvel universe until. The film has happened. What the heck were Guardians of the Galaxy? I mean, they weren't third
Guardians
level
of the
either.
I mean, weren't even an afterthought.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you can do that with those characters, by all means. Here we come, Vance Astro. I'm really looking forward to Vance Astro. Eventually, we'll get some. Yeah, that'll
be
cool.
Be awesome.
I am. I'm serious. It would be awesome. That would be cool. And we have to wait 6 years to get him, but we'll get him.
Charlie 27, Nikki X. Ooh, hang on a minute. That sounds familiar. It wasn't Nikki X, was it? I'm combining things. Although I'd like to see who they cast it as Nikki, because I always thought she was hot, and I'm not just referring to the fact that her head was on fire through the series. Anyway, moving on to something from Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. They had a thing called the Clean Version Initiative, which I frankly had not heard of. And as I read this story, I found out why. The idea behind it was to take movies that they released, like Ghostbusters or Easy A or Captain Phillips, and turn them in and change them just slightly so that they're no longer as hard rated as they were. They would remove things like graphic violence and offensive language and sexual innuendo.
Yes, making clean versions.
Which I think would make most of these movies that they have on the list, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So they've decided to revise it, and by revise it, they mean they're cutting it back and probably not really going to do it anymore.
Right. Because it's a terrible idea.
It is. If you get rid of the story, then there's, you know, what's the point?
Now, if you're going to do that, and if a filmmaker wants to create two versions of a movie while they're filming it, so they
can
actually have alternate scenes, right, that's absolutely different. But to recut something, and like some of those films, like, seriously? No,
yeah.
It doesn't work. Like, well, it's like watching RoboCop on the Disney Channel. It's like you said, it'd be like 10 minutes long. There's no point in doing that. And I'm really glad to see there was a company, decades ago, that did that with some films, and they would, I think they actually got sued for it. It was some Christian distribution company, and they would recut
films.
Well.
I forgot what they were called,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, and then they finally went under because I think they were trying to recut films they didn't have the right to do. You know, they were making these sanitized versions, and it's like, just watch films that fit that category, films that were already rated G or PG. And sorry if you can't find them, but you know, they're out there.
There aren't that many, admittedly. But
no.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I was glad to, like you said, I'm glad to see Sony backed off on that idea. And I think this is their way of saving face to say, wow, that was an incredibly stupid idea. Thanks for not kicking her ass for coming up with it. Because that's stupid. If you want to make a family friendly film, make a family friendly film. Don't try to recut something that wasn't meant for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Midnight Express.
Good news.
The G-rated version. Yes, good news.
Good news for the Justice League front on a couple of levels, although one of them I think they could have done a little bit better, and there's still time to fix this. But the main big news that I think is going to be awesome is the score for the forthcoming Justice League movie is not going to be done by Junkie XL. And I'm sorry, just going on the name. Although apparently his real name is Antonius Tom Holkenborg. Really? Junkie XL just sounds like Fat Boy Slim gone wrong. neither of which I think are particularly good. The music may be fine, but the name, come on. You made it up. You can do better than that. Regardless, Junkie XL has been replaced by Danny Elfman.
Yeah, that's...
And
pretty good news.
I like Danny Elfman with Oingo Boingo, which confuses a lot of people. They all go, "Ooh, wait, that was him? Yes, same guy." Came up with the Batman score that you get from the Michael Keaton movies. The one that when you think Batman, this is the song that pops in your head now. Or the Adam West version. I'm not sure which. Almost interchangeable. Despite
like
being
saying,
radically different.
You can do the Batusi to the new score too. So, one of the things that's interesting is, yeah, I mean, he obviously did the Batman score, but he also did Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a very interesting choice because they didn't go the John Williams, not the... Or, you know, more at this point, the Hans Zimmer version. So it could have lighter tones to it. And that alone is a big, big win. You know, obviously, they've seen the numbers for Wonder Woman. We'll talk about that later. And because the tone of that film is very different from the last few movies they've come out with. And Danny Elfman, that supports that as well. So that's awesome news.
Just to throw this out, and this is unrelated to my other Justice League news, while we were gone, I spent a lot of time watching
Soul
TV,
searching.
So I was at my in-laws' house. One of the things I saw on
say that like you were in prison for a week.
It's anyway. Not that different. So anyway, I love my in-laws, but in smaller doses. On WGN, they were showing a commercial for E.T., you know, ye olde E.T. movie, right?
Yeah, the old
but they
E.T.
did not
movie. That's
use,
bad. That's
bad. Well, I'm sure there's a new one coming. Yeah. They did not use the John Williams soundtrack from it. The movie, what? The music they had in the background was, and I'm not sure if it actually was, but it sounded a lot like Daft Punk doing music for E.T. And holy cow, just it sounds so bizarre, but if you watch it, it changes the feel of the whole movie from kind of a lighthearted, oh, let's get this little brown thing with a stretchy neck back home, to almost a techno horror movie. And gave it a completely different feel. So music is very important in movies.
Absolutely.
So yeah, the Danny Elfman thing is awesome. And I would put up a link on the website if I can find this commercial. I haven't been able to yet because looking up anything that has just E.T. and it gives you every word on the planet that has the letters next to each other.
Right.
Really annoying. Anyway, meanwhile, back at movie news of actual interest, with the Justice League movie, there's new pictures that include the Hall of Justice, which a lot of people remember from the Super Friends series and everything. And yes, it's in the books as well. So I consider that to be good news because that's kind of a staple of the Justice League is having the Hall of Justice. My problem with it, though, is that they made it out. It appears as though they made a model of it, and they're just going to, you know, green screen it in. You don't need to do that, because there's a place called the Robert D. Linder Family OmniMax Theater, which is a really long name. Used to be a train station in Cincinnati. It's still there, and if you look at it, it looks like the Hall of Justice, because that's what the original Hall of Justice was modeled on. Hello? The building is still there. I'm pretty sure they'll let you rent it out for a movie because it'll get them tremendous publicity.
Wow.
Use it.
Yes, I have just
let
pulled
me
that
just
up.
Pulled the picture up. Yeah. Hello?
Yeah. I mean,
why build
almost
a model? It's there. Take a film crew to Cincinnati.
It's almost too much like it. That's insane.
It is.
What a bizarre building to actually exist.
I mean, yeah, you can green screen out the trains, all the trains behind it at the switch yard. But look, it's right there.
Wow, that's incredible.
Go in costume to a Reds game. Oh, my God. Do you know what would happen? The publicity for your movie?
Yeah, seriously.
Take sunscreen. Let's see.
Good ballpark,
there's been
the
a few things. Yeah, absolutely. Great American ballpark.
It is a great American ballpark. And it is the. And it is, unless they sold the name six times since last week. But as far as I know,
it could be. interesting
the
story
Robert
that came
Lincoln
out.
Park.
Yeah. Interesting thing that came out last week is Joel Schumacher apologized again for the Batman and Robin movie.
I don't feel sorry for him because he should, but yeah.
Well, one of the other things he mentioned was the bat nipples on the bat suit. He tried to explain that when they did the first movie with Michael Keaton, that was state-of-the-art, top-of-the-line costuming that they could do at the time. And by the time they got around to doing Batman and Robin, they said, look how much better we can do. We can do the whole thing. And he just went, it even looks like he has nipples, because he did. And they just thought, well, we'll use the top-of-the-line thing, and that happened to have the nipples. And he says, looking back on it, boy, was that a stupid idea. So,
yeah.
Another DC Comics news. But the staying with Batman and Adam West, actually. And this is kind of a good news, bad news thing. Earlier this year, they came out with a video on straight to DVD. I believe it was, well, Batman, The Return of the Caped Crusaders or something.
Yep.
With Adam West and Burt Ward kind of reprising their role from the 1960s TV series, only it's an animated version. There is going to be another one coming out that Adam West finished before he passed this past week, which I think is good news for those of you who are fans of it and want to see more of him. So there's something forthcoming. The bad news out of this, which even the bad news is a good news, bad news thing. One of the characters they always wanted to do in the 60s version but never got around to doing was Two-Face. And that's who they're doing in this animated version. But the bad news is, and I'm considering this bad news because I can't picture this any other way, is Two-Face is being voiced by William Shatner.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
See, his laughter should tell you everything. I'd like to be making this up, but I'm not.
That's awesome news. That's a guaranteed, I don't know, train wreck, kind of.
It's going to be an enjoyable train wreck to watch. Maybe they could have it behind the Robert D. Linder Family Omnimax Theater where they're already trained.
That's very interesting casting. Talk about a distinctive voice.
It's going to be very strange.
Wow. Yeah, the Return of the Caped Crusaders to me was kind of, I mean, I enjoyed it, but it was kind of uneven because it was very campy and very 66-ish. But at the same time, it was updated and it didn't really mesh all the time. So it's definitely watchable, but it was just kind of like, I would have preferred they would just stayed with the original concept completely and kept and not tried to update it as they did occasionally, because to me it just didn't work. Like I said, it's still very good. It's just it could have been better if they'd not. I mean, they kind of forced some things, making it try to make it relevant, which is like, what are you doing? That's not the point of this concept. So, but bringing Shatner into it, because to me, Shatner fits in with the extremely crazy overacting that they had on the show in 66 and 67 with Romero and Victor Bono as King Tut and all the craziness that they were doing. So
wow.
I can see that. I can see that.
You knew that one off the top of your head, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, believe me. I watched that show religiously. I mean, on any form, it says Lutheran, but it's actually Batman 66, 67. Yeah.
Oh dear. Moving on to the bad news, just straight up bad news, coming from the cast of X-Men Dark Phoenix. I suppose there's a twinge of good news.
Really?
In that they have made some casting some casting news out of this. Jessica Chastain is playing a character called Lilandra. And my first thoughts on this is, okay, now you find a redhead to play somebody? Hello? Lilandra was not a redhead. She is an alien. And I suppose the good news part out of this is, out of the casting news, we find out that the Shi'ar Empire and the Hellfire Club are both going to be in this movie, which were integral parts of the Dark Phoenix storyline from the books. Let's flip that a bit. How can you possibly squeeze this much story? If you go Lord of the Rings and it's a 3.5-hour movie, there's a lot of story here you got to get through. And wow. But they've also added a bunch of cast members that seriously don't need to be done for now. I'm going to do this in terms of the comic book. The Dark Phoenix storyline ended in October of 1980. All right. Bear this in mind as I do this. Never mind the fact that Apocalypse didn't even make his first appearance until 1986. But he was the movie before this one. crackhead time traveling, because that's the way the X-Men roll these days.
Yeah, exactly.
Characters that are going to be introduced in this movie. Dazzler, that's fine. She was part of the storyline. I'm with that. Sunfire, really? He had left before this. He was only in like half of a book. That's fine, though. He at least was a member for 20 seconds. Mimic stopped appearing in X-Men comics in 1966. That's a bit before they even started this storyline. Now, I've heard they brought him back since I stopped collecting in 98. Wait a minute, 1980, 1998? Yeah, that's a bit after. Let's see, who else have they cast? They have cast Rogue. Rogue's first appearance was in 1981. That would be a year after the Dark Phoenix storyline. Hello, doesn't fit. Didn't join the X-Men until 83. See, we're doing that crack addict time travel thing again. Monet. Monet was a character who wasn't even introduced until 1994. How is she in this storyline? Because that doesn't make sense. And just for fun, they're throwing Sauron in. So we've got the Hellfire Club, the Shi'ar Empire, and Sauron. Not the one from the Lord of the Rings.
Why are they throwing in Sauron? Well, anyway. If they do Sauron, right, that's very cool. I'm excited about that.
Well, actually, I think they just don't. They haven't spent enough money, so they need to throw in the mind-controlling pterodactyl.
Yeah, because that'll if they do it right, that's going to take a lot of money in CGI. Unless Gilbert Gottfried probably could play Sauron with just like a little headpiece on the back of his head.
That's awesome.
Yeah, let's not do that. The interchangeable parts of all the X-Men from all the different timelines doesn't bother me as much, as long as they make a coherent, sensible film, which for the most part they have not done with the X-Men films.
No.
You know, like Logan is a good movie, but again, if they had stuck to the source material, it would have been a great movie, and it's not a great movie because we talked about it before, but they blew it because they wanted to protect the reputation of a character that they've written out of their storyline now, which is whatever. Great decision there, geniuses. So I don't really care that they bring in characters that came in after this, long after the events, or that were gone before the events, as long as they do them correctly. And odds are they won't. And that's not the problem to me. I mean, it's cool that they're actually bringing in the Hellfire Club, finally. I mean, they're actually using elements that we haven't seen 80 times already in the X-Men movies. That's a nice change, finally. They realize, oh, there's more to the X-Men than Magneto. I was like, oh, good for you. You finally realize that there's the Sentinels.
Wait a minute. Magneto is in this storyline, which, let's see, was Magneto in the Dark Phoenix storyline? No, he wasn't.
But, of course, they're going to bring in Magneto. I would like them to just take 5 years off and then just act like none of it ever happened and just start from the beginning, ignore all the rest of it so they can repair this god-awful train wreck they've done with the timeline.
It's just news from Sports Center.
Yeah, news from Sports Center. Magneto is in, which is like, that's weird because my phone is supposed to be off. Thank you. You moron. Okay, and it is, and it still did it. Anyway. Yeah, that's the big problem to me, is because they'll screw it up. Jessica Chastain being
Magneto
cast.
Magneto was very upset that Superman was at the Reds game, so he showed up, and now they're having a game amongst themselves.
They're at the not at the Great American Ballpark, the new ballpark, the Robert D. Linder Ballpark. Jessica Chastain, though, that's awesome. That gives me hope for at least part of the movie will be worth watching because she's an awesome actress. She's great. But, yeah, I'm also kind of afraid that it'll be a mess, like most of their movies are.
She could have played Jean Grey if you had, bothered to cast a redhead in the first place, which they didn't.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool, too.
I know changing your hair color is an easy thing, but come on. Let's see, I'm skipping my other bad news part because it's more visual. You can't really do it over tell people that, the new Transformers movies have now 13 new posters for this movie that I don't want to go see. Do you want to go see this? I don't.
No. No.
No.
Not at all.
And it's poorly photoshopped. So, no. Moving on to a rumor that I heard, and I'm not sure if this is good news or bad news or... Let's see what Todd makes of this. Suicide Squad 2, which we all know is coming, whether we want it or not. They're trying to get a new director for it, and they're looking heavily at a guy named Mel Gibson. Can you... I'm having trouble working that out in my head, because it just... I don't know. What is your opinion of this? I don't know what to make of it.
I mean, he's a good director, but I just wonder which of the characters will be kidnapped and beaten near to death and crucified, because he likes doing that in his films. So at some point,
yeah,
there's going to be some really bloody sacrifice going on, and then that person will be redeemed, because that's Mel's thing. He loves that. It seems kind of unusual. It almost seems like it's out there just to garner publicity, which it's not like they need extra publicity. So I would assume that this is something they're seriously looking at. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of like, how does he actually fit that universe? But hey, Kenneth Branagh made Thor. So,
yeah,
you know, he's a very good director.
Who knows?
Done some good stuff. And it doesn't really kind of fit in with the going somewhat lighter theme, though, so I'm not really sure about how that all plays out. We'll see. With the success of Wonder Woman, though, and the fact that that was a very major change in tone, I'd be kind of surprised if they stuck with that. I would hope that they're doing crazy rewrites on everything after Wonder Woman came out.
Wouldn't surprise me. Speaking of rewrites.
Kind of odd.
Rewrites and recutting and everything. There was an article that came out. We're going to go back to James Gunn for a minute, because I had forgotten that he did this little movie in 2002 called Scooby-Doo. The mostly live action version of the cartoon that was really good when it was done before Scrappy. But James Gunn revealed in an interview this week that the original cut of his Scooby-Doo movie was R-rated.
Woohoo!
And a lot of that had to do... And I'm not sure how exactly this alone makes it R-rated. He said there were several scenes that they wanted to reshoot so they could cover up the women more, because there was too much cleavage. But they never reshot them and just CG'd some extra clothing. Which, I mean, I suppose that's clever, but would you ever want to see an R-rated Scooby-Doo movie?
I never wanted to watch a G-rated Scooby-Doo movie, so no. I'm not really down for the R-rated version either.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure.
That's easy enough.
What is... Yeah, but that would be less appetizing. Less interesting. I mean, yeah, I don't really care about Velma's cleavage, so... Or Shaggy's either, for that matter, so...
Yes.
Not quite...
Just throwing it out, I saw this and went, really? That's weird.
So does that make you rethink your whole thing? Is like, oh, thank goodness he's in charge.
No,
me either. But that's
he's moved on since then. So
I just, thank God, that's really odd. An R-rated. Yeah.
And now to the news that worried Todd before the show. It has to do with a beloved sitcom called The Golden Girls.
Beloved.
And there's talk between, James Berg and Stan Zimmerman, who are two of the original writers. And they've created it's not a spinoff, it's kind of a reboot in a sense. No, Betty White, who is the only living Golden Girl left, is not in it. This one's called Silver Foxes. And it's the same concept of the older people living together, only this time it's older gay men living in a home. And the actors they're trying to get in this are actually gay actors. Bruce Valanche, Leslie Jordan. At that point, I was like, no, not really. And George Takei. All right, now I might be interested in seeing it.
Yeah, now I'm interested.
What is your take on this? Because I can almost see it working, but at the same time, I can also see it being a hideous train wreck.
Yeah, it depends on the script. I mean, like with anything. Odds are more likely it would be a hideous train wreck. However, if Takei signs on, then I think there's an excellent chance that it would be good, because I don't particularly see him as doing something that has a bad script that would make, you know, really bad jokes, although he himself is a master of bad jokes, but he knows that. I mean, that's right. His shtick. If he signs on, it'll be worth watching, just because then I think that would be a point that, oh, okay, well, the scripts are good and the rest of it. But if he passes, then that's probably a sign that the audience should pass if it ever gets off the ground. Because, yeah, it's much more likely it's going to be a hideous train wreck, because most things are hideous train wrecks. Because, I mean, let's face it, we don't even see most things because they don't even get pilots made, or the pilots are made and the pilots suck, so they never air. So, yeah, odds are it's going to be awful. It'd be nice if it's fun, but, you know.
Yeah. And yet, no. I'm not sure what to make of this either. It's not entirely movie or TV news, but it's entertainment, and something that you will allegedly be able to watch movies or TV on. There's supposed to be a new home entertainment system, which means gaming console, coming out from Atari. And I'm just throwing this out. Is it too late for Atari to get into the whole gaming, the high-tech gaming world with Sony and Xbox and Wii? We're not even able to support the Wii. Do you think we could support something like the Atari? It looks like a wood grain box with slats on it. That's all they've shown so far.
A wood grain box with slats.
It looks pretty.
It looks like the old Atari. Depends what they're doing. I mean, is there going to be a lot of virtual reality aspect to it, or AR?
I can tell you,
it is
wood grain box with a bunch of slats. That's their logo. That's all they've released, and that is it is not a, hey, you can play our old games on this. We just updated the console thing. It is supposed to be a new system.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure anybody would want to play Breakout.
Unless it's on my phone.
Yeah. That is very weird. I mean, they've got the name recognition, although I wonder at this point how much name recognition there is for Atari. I mean, there is for us.
Yeah,
are we the market?
Well, I mean, the last I heard out of Atari was the Jaguar system back in the mid-90s, and as beautiful a system as it was, it flopped because it had absolutely no software support.
Yeah, oh, and that's the thing. I mean, it's like, what are the games going to be? That's the issue with any system, of course. So, yeah, it would be hard to see how they could get into the market and get games when there's so many exclusives at this point. It's like, how do you wedge yourself into that between three pretty big properties? So
exactly.
Maybe Pong will be back.
Yeah, Pong, only using Star Wars characters.
Mm-hmm. $500 game system to play Pong. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, there we go. Speaking of something that I'm sure they spent a lot of money on, best trailer I've seen since our last show, was the trailer for the forthcoming Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
Which my daughter says, boy, a lot of the stunts look like the same ones they'd used in Deadpool. I'm like, yeah, but it looks better in black. And I don't mean that as a racist thing. I'm just saying the suit looks much better. I thought the trailer looked awesome. Bear with the way I phrase this. Black Panther was never a character I really got that into. No, it has nothing to do with his skin color. It's just a character I just never got into. Never really got into the Punisher either, and he's white, so bite me.
Oh, but he wears black. He wears black. There's a theme here, Rob.
Oh, there's a thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I never got into Star Fox. He wears red and white, so there. I'm not even sure if that's the character's name anymore at this point. Thanos. I never got into Thanos. He wears blue and purple. What the hell you can make out of that? I'm racist against Smurfs. Yeah, whatever.
Everybody should be racist against Smurfs.
The Black Panther trailer looked really cool and made me interested in seeing the movie. And, you know, going back to something we mentioned at the beginning of the show, the music in it is awesome.
Yeah.
I liked it.
The trailer is awesome. It's very colorful, which again helps. It attracts the eye. I've always liked the character. Unlike my racist Rob, I have always been down with the Panther. I did like the character of the Black Panther. He's very interesting, and to me never came off as the Marvel version of anything. Because a lot of times, characters that came along a little later, you can see, oh, well, this is their version of Batman, or this is their version of Wolverine, or whatever, you know. Panther is definitely his own character. Very cool, very interesting concept. And, yeah, the trailer is awesome, which, since he showed up on the screen, it's like, yes, this movie's going to really rock. So, or should. But yes. given Marvel's track record, I'm sure it will. And the trailer is completely terrific. Like you said, did its job. Makes you want to see the movie.
My one question out of this is, because they brought back the character of Ulysses Claw.
Yeah.
Who was shown very briefly in, the second Avengers movie, I think it was. And if you follow the comics, Ulysses Claw becomes just Claw, a man made of living sound. And if you look at the trailer for this, we see something that looks an awful lot like that hand replacement hand that Claw gets.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think we're going to actually get to see the living sound version of Claw?
No. I don't think they'll go that route just because it just seems – I mean, they've done a lot of reboots of characters in the Marvel universe, and I think it's helped. And I don't think they need to go that over the top. I think it'd be more interesting to keep them as a person as opposed to that. So, and then of course I'll probably be wrong in the quote unquote third reel, which at this point would be like the 18th reel, and there's not reels anymore anyway. He probably will be the living embodiment of sound. But yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to see Andy Serkis and actually see his face for an entire film. That's a rarity.
No, can't do that. That is true. I think the movie's going to be good, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, and I'm perfectly fine if it's not like I'm going to write an angry letter and say, how dare you change him into this? It's like, do whatever works for the film. Yeah, I just don't think they'll go that route because I don't think they need to. That's all. Because in a comic book, what's more interesting? A guy with a weird, looks like a microwave transmitter in his hand, or someone who is like sound embodiment? It's going to be more cool for a comic book, but for the movie, I don't think they need to go that route, and it could save a little bit of money. Not that they held their printing money, so not that they need to, but still.
Well, they could take some of the money that they were going to use on Sauron in the X-Men movie and move it over. if only it were the same studio.
Wouldn't that be nice?
No, you mentioned that it was very colorful, and I think that's a wonderful thing because that was a lot of the problem I had with I think that was my main problem with the Batman v Superman movie, was that I spent a lot of time going, that's something in the background I'm supposed to be paying attention to. I don't know. I can't see it. It's too dark.
Yeah.
See. Colors are not a bad thing.
No, they're not. And the Marvel movies have been, there've been some criticism that that's because the palette is kind of muted, and you know, you can see it, and it is to some extent. It doesn't bother me, but that's why it's like you have this, the color just pops on the scene of the city wall, and it's like, yeah, this is pretty cool. So, and that's, again, that was one of the things that they did right in Wonder Woman. I mean, it's much more colorful than the previous iterations of the DC films. So, another thing that has helped make it incredibly successful. It looks pretty.
Although one of the things that one of the things that's bugging me about the Wonder Woman movie is all, and it's not the Wonder Woman movie itself. It is the people who are saying, finally, we're getting a strong female character lead in an action movie. And I'm thinking,
yeah, well, yeah.
Somewhere in the background, Sigourney Weaver's going, excuse me.
Exactly. That was my first thought too. When that chatter started, is like, you ever hear of Ellen Ripley? And of course, that's not a superhero film, but yeah. And I guess that's their point. One of the really cool things about one of the cool things about Wonder Woman's success is maybe Marvel will finally make a Black Widow movie before Scarlett Johansson has to do it in a wheelchair. That would be a nice thing.
What a concept!
Yeah, and I
would
don't.
Work.
I don't think it would be as financially successful as Wonder Woman, just because Wonder Woman is an iconic character. It's been around forever.
Right.
Well, maybe not forever, but since the 40s, which that's practically forever. Not that Black Widow is like brand new either. And Black Widow does have the base of, God, we've seen her in films like 80 times at this point, so it's about time she has her own film.
I loved her in Lucy.
It would be... I did love her in Lucy, too. It would be interesting to see if and when they ever get around to making the damn thing, to see how it matches up at the box office with Wonder Woman. That would be very interesting to see. Because, again, it's not the same kind of character at all, and doesn't have the track record of being like an icon. But it's got this huge built-in appeal, and this would be Scarlett Johansson, obviously. And that's what Fox would do. If this was Fox's property, they would go ahead and make a Black Widow movie, but they would have somebody else do it because they wouldn't want to pay Scarlett Johansson enough money. So, anyway, Wonder Woman, if we can jump into box office for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Wonder Woman kicked some major butt again this weekend, made $40 million. Cars 3 opened to $53 million. That's a nice big opening for Cars 3. I am not remotely interested in it.
More than expected.
Yeah, but I didn't even like the first movie, Cars, that much. And it's okay, but it's like, to me, it doesn't measure up to most Pixar films. And Cars 2, no. So Cars 3, also no way. But for a film in its third week, pulled in $40 million, $274 million for its run so far. I mean, it's just doing huge, huge numbers. You compare that to Baywatch, which The Rock is still whining about that, Rotten Tomatoes killed it. It's like, again, no, the fact your movie sucks killed it. It dropped 68%, whereas Wonder Woman only dropped 30%. Alien Covenant has dropped 74%. Of course, it's been out longer, but still. Yeah. So when movies, like I said, Alien Covenant to me is not a bad film, but it's nowhere... It fits in with Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection, you know, that level of film. It's not anywhere close to Alien or Aliens. But
no.
One thing I did want to mention that, again, about Baywatch and The Rock saying it's like, oh, the critics killed it because look at the people's response on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't have it pulled up, but it's like Rotten Tomatoes, the audience rating was like 68% or 70%, whatever. But he's failing to take into account that from the trailer – only people who are predisposed to like this movie based on the trailer, and the trailer makes it look like a really dumb, crappy movie, are going to go see it. Critics have to go see it. So you don't have an audience of like, oh, I know I'm going to like this movie. I'm going to go see it. So, of course, most of the audience that went to see it likes it, dumbass, because they saw your crappy trailer for your crappy movie, and they thought, this looks fun. Well, no kidding. The reverse happened with a movie that I saw this weekend, or this previous weekend, I should say. It Comes at Night. I think it's a really good movie. It's gotten good critical response. And it's like 40% as far as the audience rating goes. And it's not, to me, it's not because it's a bad movie. A lot of people are saying, oh my God, this is terrible. It's the worst movie ever. It's because it was marketed the wrong way. It's being marketed as a horror film, and it's not a horror film. So people want to go see something like The Conjuring or Annabelle or whatever. And it's not that. It's a drama. It's a psychological thriller. It's not a horror movie. So, of course, people going in expecting a horror movie don't like it. It's the same thing in reverse. It's just about those expectations. You know, it's, God, make good movies. And market them correctly. Don't market It Comes at Night as a horror movie. Don't market the Tina Fey, I just looked out, of course. The Tina Fey movie that came out not too long ago yes, you know the one I'm talking about. They marketed it as a comedy, and it wasn't a comedy. So, of course,
no,
it didn't do well. I was like, well, market it right. I noticed it showed up on either Netflix or Amazon, one or the other, and they're marketing it as a drama. It's like, there you go. Maybe you should have been honest about it. Just for God's sakes, why do you think people are not going to figure out once they're sitting down in front of the screen that, hey, this isn't what I was told it was? You think they're going to be happy? They're going to tell everybody, and then the next wave of people won't come in. So, you know, for a change, be honest in your marketing. That might help you. And if you have a piece of crap, all you can do is market it and then have people not come in. So, sorry, Rock. Next time, make a good movie. Don't make Baywatch again.
Please don't make Baywatch again. Okay. What do you think about the Tom Cruise epic? I'm sorry. the Tom Cruise movie, The Mummy. Is this it's not doing terribly well.
No, it's not. I thought about going to see it, because I, you know, I had hopes. So it's like, okay, well, now there's some horror scenes. But, and you probably read the same, at least some of the same things I did, that it really went under some extensive rewrites, because apparently Tom wasn't happy that the title character, the monster in the monster movie, got as much screen time as he did. So it became much more about his character, which apparently was a big mistake, because he's not an interesting character from what I've read, again. And not a particularly likable character. So it became a Tom Cruise vehicle. Shock. And that's not what it's supposed to be. So,
no, it isn't.
Not surprising that it's not doing great when, again, from what we've read, it doesn't really deliver on what it's being marketed as.
And does this bode, yeah. Do you think this does not bode well for the future of this, the Dark Universe?
Yeah, the Dark Universe. What a stupid name. Why don't you call it the Monster Universe? Because they're monster movies, or they're supposed to be. Maybe just, you know, go off the fact that you have built this up since 1931. Yeah, maybe use the term that people think of instead of something new that doesn't fit, and then you have to get into a lawsuit with another studio, morons. Jesus. It's like Fox took over Universal or something. Yeah, it's
Foxover.
I mean, they're going to go on with their next movie, and hopefully they realize they have to service the characters instead of the star, and then maybe they'll have luck. But I mean, you know, they said that they had actually tried to reboot it with the latest Dracula film, Dracula Unfettered, Unchained, Off the Hook, whatever the hell they called the stupid last Dracula movie they did, which bombed. And actually, they tried before that without making a big lot of noise about it with The Wolfman, which also bombed. And actually, the one with Benicio del Toro, and I watched it, and it was okay, but it was just okay, and it should have been, you know. If you make an okay film, you're not going to launch a cinematic universe with an okay film. So this is their third shot at it, really. And from what we're hearing, they've blown it again. So kind of weird.
There's
it's just kind
still going
of weird.
At it. They're, they're saying they want to bring in even bigger name actors like Angelina Jolie and Charlize Theron and The
no,
Rock.
No, no, no. Bring in and, The Rock. Bring in bigger name writers.
No, I'm serious.
Or I know you're serious. And the problem is like it's not the actors, it's the script, stupid.
Yes.
You know,
yes, it is.
It's just stop bringing in all of those actors. That would be awesome. Even The Rock, he could fit in. Yeah, I like The
Rock.
They're
trying to get him to be the Wolfman.
Yeah. Maybe. It's just make a good film, and it starts with the damn script. The best actor can only do so much, you know, when they're just reading about cheese and acting cheese. It's like there's nothing for them to do. So maybe focus on the script first and then get the actor to fit the part. You might try that. And by the way, you might get Patty Jenkins to direct it for you too, who still, last I read, has not signed a deal to make the Wonder Woman sequel.
She hasn't signed the deal, but she has given said verbally, yes, I'd like to do it. So at least,
right,
you know, that's a start.
You know, at this point, why had Warner's not just said, here's the door to the vault. What do you want? I don't understand how they haven't worked out a deal yet. I mean, she obviously holds the cards, as she should, because the movie is so good. And then not that it's just her, obviously, because, again, there's a script. But why would you even take a minute to make sure that this woman is happy and that she's making the next movie? They're stupid. They are incredibly stupid not to, like, get this done now. I don't get it.
Yeah. Actually, there's a thing we probably shouldn't say.
Lock her up before she's working for Marvel on her next project. Because when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the last feature film she did was Monster, and she couldn't get a damn job other than working TV episodes. So,
yeah,
you might want to make sure that you make this person happy. I mean, she's as responsible for the success of Wonder Woman just as much as anybody. Obviously, she's the freaking director. So might give it some thought. And the one thing, back to Wonder Woman, just for a little bit. There are so many things that worked well in the movie. And one thing I forgot to mention was the fact that there is no eye candy for men in the film that's put in just for that sake. I mean, the Amazons, they're in their suits and whatever, but they make sense. There are no bare midriffs. You know, there are no shots of, ooh, let's watch her in the shower. It's like the eye candy is for the ladies because Chris Pine gets naked, like almost completely naked, and it's in a hilarious scene. So if you wish to see Chris Pine almost completely naked, go see Wonder Woman because you look to see him, and it's a very cool scene, very funny scene. But it's a play on the whole thing of like women are just in it for the eye candy, and you know, and comics. How many female heroes and villains have boob windows? And it's like every other character practically. At some point in their career, they have to wear, or you know, instead of a top, they wear two little straps. So it covers their bat nipples. You know, it's just, it's
actually
nice.
One of the funniest things that I've heard out of comics in a long time was the story behind Power Girl. And if you don't know the character, look her up and you'll understand what I'm talking about. She started off with her own TV or her own comic series. And she was kind of a skinny thing. And the editors decided to get her more publicity. So every issue, she went up a cup size. And at this point, the head people at DC kind of went, she's at a J cup. You can stop now. And that's where she is today.
Yeah.
It's all eye candy with this character. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. And with the window, with the cutout in her costume to make sure, you know, in case you somehow missed.
The cleavage is here. Oh,
thank you. You know, it's just another cool thing about Wonder Woman, the fact that it's about, oh, she's powerful. She kicks ass. It's not, oh, wow, she looks hot. It's like, they reference that because obviously she's an attractive woman, but it's just, it's not what it's about. at all, which is a very cool part of the film.
And I found out one other thing about the actress playing Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause for the past 2 years now, I've been calling her Gal Gadot, which is the way it looks and sounds like a villain in a Godzilla movie. And we've been saying it wrong the whole time. It really is Gal Gadot.
Because she ain't French.
She's not French. She's Israeli. So the T is not silent, and that's going to be hard for me to do for a while because I've been doing Gal Gadot for so long. It's Gal Gadot, and I apologize.
You should. She will come here and beat you to death.
She will. The comments I got through here that I'm not going to. So anyway. I have run out of stories for this week. What have you got?
I have nothing. I was just wondering if she had served in the Israeli military.
Probably.
Yep, there we go. She was in the service for 2 years because... Oh, she was a combat trainer. Yeah.
Hey.
So it helped her win the role in Fast and the Furious. So there you go. There you are. Wonder Woman actually was in the military, so there you are. Yes, I have nothing else. And at this point, that's a good thing.
Yes. Look, we don't have time anymore either.
We don't have time anymore. We're done. Yes. I have nothing. Speak.
I may or may not have shows this week. It's been hectic, and I couldn't tell you. If I do, look for them on the Coil Entertainment Network website, which is either coilentertainmentnetwork.com or coil.us, COYL. It's easier that way. I know the other one's a long one. Not my fault.
This is for our stalker, Late Night Parents. Excellent show. Latenightparents.com. You can find it there. That's it for me. All I got left to say, bye-bye.
That's about all I've got, too. Have a good week, everybody.
Ariel! Opa! Ride!
Do you think they will let me live in Montana?
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.